Hello and welcome to the Closeted Soul podcast. In this podcast, we dive deep into the spiritual and esoteric side to the world. I was an atheist for most of my life, and in being an atheist, I cut myself off from source and the magical side to the universe. In reconnecting to my soul, spirit, and purpose, I was able to completely transform my life, and now I want to help you do the same. It's now my mission to help you utilize the spiritual world to cultivate self-love, self-trust, and self-understanding in order to then better navigate this physical world around us. So join me on this journey of insane self-discovery and let's learn and grow in both the spiritual and physical world together. Hello to all my fellow weirdos out there who are just as much obsessed with the spiritual world as I am. Thank you so much for joining me in another episode of the Closeted Soul podcast. In today's episode, I interview Fee Dang. Now, Fee Dang is a clarity and confidence life coach. She is wildly passionate about helping you to overcome your negative self-talk so that you can conquer anything. Now, the reason why I love Fee so much is because she is so real. I just love the way she shows up for her clients and how she shows up online. I really just believe the world needs more people like her. She's known as the positivity queen, yet she just keeps it so real. I love her perspective. I think it's so interesting, and I'm just so excited for you guys to hear her story and just to hear her wisdom. She is so passionate about what she does, and you can hear it in the way that she speaks. I just think that she is incredible. And if you're looking for a life coach, I think that you should consider having Fee in your corner, because it would just be incredible to have a coach who really is just empowered about helping you get out of your shell, helping you to bring out what's deep within you to surface and to light so that you can conquer anything. And that's what I love about Fee's message. She's all about giving you your power back. So I'm excited for you guys to have a listen, and I'm excited to hear what you guys think. As always, if you enjoyed the episode, please, please, please don't forget to give the podcast a rate and review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. It really helps the podcast to grow and reach new people. And it also lets me know that you're enjoying this type of content and you want me to produce more? Come out with more? I don't know. It works, right? I would also love it if you could tag both Fee and I on Instagram if you're listening to the podcast and you have any downloads you want to share. We'd love to hear from you. And yeah, let us know. Instagram is where we hang out the most. It's fun and it's all happening over there. I feel like all the other platforms I'm just kind of like MIA on, but I love Instagram. It's just so intimate and you can really, really get to know people and connect with people, connect with like-minded souls. So yeah, without further ado, let's welcome Fee to the podcast. Hi Fee, and welcome to the Closeted Soul podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm so excited to have this chat with you.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I am so excited to be here.
Awesome. Everyone that I've interviewed so far is actually in a different time zone, so it's so nice having you in Sydney because the time zone correlates so well.
Yes, I totally know the feeling. It's really nice to connect with someone else who's Aussie, of course.
Yes. So before we get into anything, I would love it if you could introduce yourself to the listeners and just explain a little into what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. So my name is Fee. I am a confidence life coach and I am known as a positivity queen. So I really help my clients, you know, evolve, you know, to their next level, get rid of the negative self-talk. And really when you're a life coach, you talk about all areas of life. So it could be career, relationships, manifestation, which I'm sure we're going to talk about today. So that's kind of the world and the realm that I play in. And it's just such a beautiful space to help my clients, you know, achieve what they want or to, you know, better themselves. It's just, I love being a life coach.
No, I saw, I was obviously doing research into you and what you do. I love your work so much. And you are right. It is a bit of everything. So that is why you kind of dip into everything. We'll definitely dive deeper into that. But before we do, this is the Closeted Soul podcast. And I do know that you have a spiritual side. I saw.
Oh, absolutely.
You do. I saw this morning that you put a picture up of a frog on your stories and you said that that was your dad.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So the frog is very dear to me because it's, so it's all about signs. So for those who don't know me and my story, when I was 19, my dad passed away. And so that was kind of the catalyst. It is definitely a reason as to why I'm here right now. Now with my community and a life coach. And so, yeah, I've recently been getting more into the spiritual and playing a game, which is like trying to ask for a sign to speak to my spirit guides and to people who have passed on the other side. So I picked a really random animal that I really liked, which is a frog. We don't really see them here around Sydney ever in the physical form. So I knew that if I saw a frog, it was definitely a sign from the universe. So I've been asking like, hey, Dad, if you want to speak to me, send me signs of frogs. And I literally always get them in Instagram stories of people, really random. They'll just be a frog there. And it's just really funny. And it's like, oh, it's like, hello, I am here. And that is all about, you know, the energetics. And I guess we would probably elevate the conversation. I don't know how spiritual you are, but I definitely believe you can communicate with the other side because, oh, this ties into manifestation that everything is energy.
Yeah, no, I live in the cosmos, so I don't live
here. Yeah, great. We're going to be there together.
Yeah. No, I'm so, so, so spiritual. No, but that's a beautiful story. Thank you so much for sharing that. It's something I have spoken about on this podcast is that, you know, you can ask for a sign and it can be something completely random and it does literally manifest and you have to be open to receiving it in different ways. My dad has also passed away. So it was like 2 years ago. So he also communicates with me through feathers, black feathers specifically. And I'll just find them in the weirdest locations. So it's really, really beautiful. But when I saw that, I was like, okay, she's definitely spiritual. So what I ask all my guests is, when did you first come out of the spiritual closet?
Oh, do you know what? I definitely had an awakening when I was younger, just before my dad passed, which was really beautiful. The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle is the book, the awakening for me, and it's still very much rooted in what I teach about presence and being here and how, you know, time is an illusion. But I wouldn't say I was out of the spiritual closet. I would say it's been a journey since I was 19 years old and really like now being fully comfortable being seen and vulnerable and talking about it to everybody, you know, my workmates in my corporate job even know about it. So I'm really like out there now on a platform. And I'd say this year really is the year I came out of the spiritual closet.
That's crazy. There you go. Good on you. I know how scary it was to actually become public about this world and like everyone in your like actual physical world finding out. It doesn't matter people that don't know you online because you can be completely yourself. But for some reason, it's like the actual people in your everyday life that you are so scared of actually seeing this side of you because you're scared that they're going to think you're weird and whatnot.
Yeah. And you know what? I think I realized how much that was a building of my own mind and stories because everyone has been so beautiful and so supportive. And I was just like, I should have just opened up earlier and let them see, but it's that vulnerability. And, you know, recently I posted about shame. It's like the shame we hold because we think we're weird. And like you said, so yeah.
No, that's a beautiful, I saw that post. That was beautiful as well. It's true. It's so true. And I have the same experience to you, as you when I was open about this stuff and really true to who I was only met with love and acceptance. So it's really just our own stories that we tell ourselves and that keeps us from actually expressing ourselves in the way that we want. And we are going to get into all this. I'm just diving straight deep into all of it right now. So I know that you're a confidence coach. So I'd love to know your confidence story.
Oh, it has evolved so much. Like, I don't think even people in my physical world recognize me because obviously having an Asian background, you know, I was had black hair and I was like very shy. And I would definitely say my confidence has grown, but it's not been, you know, I think as a confidence coach, people always think confidence is about like when you're successful or you have the money or the job. And no, really, it was the inner work that has made me really confident to be who I am and where I am now. And it's taken time and a lot of love and compassion and sifting through a lot of crap in my life. But I would say confidence really is something that you build in the process of it. Like, people think confidence is destination or people are like born with confidence. I disagree with that completely. It is not. I think it's from your own journey and being, and that's evolved me to it. I think it's very much like your inner world truly does reflect in your outer world, and people can feel and see that confidence. But really, it starts with you, because when you're confident in yourself, it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. Like, you just are so grounded in yourself. And it's funny, like, I think confidence once to me was, you know, being able to rock all the dresses and the clothes that I wanted and being fit. And now it's just being really comfortable in my own skin. Like, I hardly wear any makeup anymore. But it's not because of like whatever makeup does. It's just like because that confidence is really brimming inside of me.
Absolutely. I love that. That's actually a really good point now that I think about it. I think the older you get as well, the more confident you get in your own skin. And I used to be really heavy on the makeup and really made sure that I was done up before I would even go outside. And now it doesn't really matter to me not to have like a full face on. So I think that that's an important distinction to make. But you're right, it's a journey and it's something that's going to be ever evolving, right?
Yeah. And just because I'm a confidence life coach doesn't mean that I'm always fully confident. I still have moments where I doubt myself. And I actually laugh because you made me remember about my personal Instagram when I was younger. Oh my gosh, like so many selfies and, you know, pictures at the beach, bikinis, like nothing wrong with that. But I think for me, that was my insecurity wanting validation. And as I get older, like I love posting pictures of me, like even with my community, like showing myself crying or looking silly. And that makes me feel really confident and showing other people like you don't have to be happy and positive all the time to be confident in who you are.
Yeah, you're right. Being silly is a form of vulnerability and being confident, I think, online. So I think that that's beautiful that you've transitioned into that. I lacked so much confidence for so, so, so long, and it kept me from doing a lot of what I wanted to do. So I really love the message that you're sharing, and I think it's so important because it can keep you from actually pursuing your dreams. Like, even with this podcast, it took me a good like nearly like full year to actually work up the courage to even make my first episode. So it can really keep you small and keep you from actually manifesting your desires. So I would love to know like how you actually help people get more confident. Like, how do you help people manifest more confidence in their day-to-day life?
Yeah. And I think that starts with most people don't feel confident because, again, it's a mind story. So I'd say like the cornerstone of my coaching and kind of what I share in my community is the fact that your thoughts are not facts. Now, this sounds simple to some of us who've done the work, but to some people listening, they'll be like, what? What do you mean, right? And it really starts with that distinction and, you know, realizing that you are a consciousness, the observer, the witness, seeing these mind stories come up, because you have to realize that your mind is not really yours. Now, what do I mean when I say that? Your mind is not really yours because it is a product of programming, conditioning, whether it's your upbringing. You know, as kids, we're sponges. We absorb the whole world consciously and unconsciously. Society has a lot to say about it and the people we grow up with. And so a lot of our thoughts are on autopilot. And for many of us, we have a lot of doubt and we hear these stories and we don't know what to do with that. So for me and my clients, I'm like that outside observing presence where I just step out. And I really do say that my clients know the answers within. I'm just helping guide them through different practices or modalities to help empower them to get to their next level of evolution.
Okay, that's beautiful. I love that. So you really help people to kind of draw it out of themselves.
Yeah, because I'm not like a martyr. I don't want to be put on a pedestal. I'm no different to anybody else. I've been through a lot of life experiences, which I can share, and I've done a lot of investing and work in myself. But for me, really, like, anybody can do the work. Of course, if you work with a life coach, it's much quicker. It's a different level of power, but it doesn't mean if you don't have, you know, you're not ready to invest in a coach that you can't do the work. There's so many resources out there, right? That's the beautiful thing. And so I think it's just really exciting to see for the personal development space and for everybody, humanity, really.
Honestly, I agree. I think there is so much out there, so much that we could actually use to start cultivating more of that confidence and start really working on ourselves in that way. We do have all of this information at our disposal, but yes, it does hit different when you have somebody to coach you through it, because that's also what I have. I had a coach that really helped me kind of get to where I am today as well. So it's so helpful.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. And I'm such a firm believer in coaching. Like, I have coaches as well. And I think it just unlocks your power, and it does hit differently when you've got your energy, your time, your money behind it. It really pushes you and elevates you. And I'm just so glad that your coach was able to help you do something so beautiful and help other people with this beautiful podcast.
Yeah, it's really just like a domino effect, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I love that you continue to do the self-development work, because it's important to mention it's not just like a one-time sort of thing. It's like,
oh, no. Yeah, this is a lifelong journey, and I love it and I enjoy it because I like bettering myself. I think that some people do kind of fall in the category where I don't really like the obsession with healing, because I don't think there's anything wrong with people, but I don't think it's like, you know, again, it's the energy of where you come from. Like, imagine working on yourself for yourself because it feels good and it lights you up versus like, there's something wrong with me, I need to do healing. Like, it's just very different energy.
Yeah. So there's a couple of things I wanted to get into, but I listened to your podcast. She has a podcast as well, guys. It's really, really good. What's it called again?
It's the Grow Through It podcast with Fee Dang.
It's so good. So I there was one episode that drew me in, and it was the title. I loved it so much, but it's Your Brain is a Liar, or The Brain is a Liar, something like that.
Yes.
It was such a good episode. So I would love to know if you could give us examples of how our brain can lie to us.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the first thing that came to mind was black and white thinking. Like, that's the first of all lie. Like, it's either this or that. And then we forget that the gray falls in between. And kind of like the foundation before I give more examples is the fact that it's an ancestral thing. It's an evolutionary thing that our brain is here to protect us, because, you know, when we were cavemen, we had a lot more dangers, but the brain hasn't necessarily evolved up to the level that we have and technology. And so your brain is always in protection mode, like fight or flight mode. And so it does tend to lie to you. Another common example is fortune telling. We're like, oh no, if this happens, that something else is definitely going to happen. And we say it with such certainty as if we can see the future, which again is not true. And I would say that's probably like the two main ways that humans do it, or catastrophizing, like really bringing it up to the next level and throwing all the worst scenarios. And I think that's like the illusion of control that we like, but those are just a few of the ways that our brain lies to us.
Yeah, I think it's important to actually talk about that, because the brain can lie to you. And I guess if we even bring it back to the example of, you know, how you said you were kind of telling yourself a story that if the people in your life found out about what you did and your spirituality online, that, you know, they were going to judge you, and you just make a situation worse than it actually is. And if you think about it, how often does that actually happen? How often do you like dramatize a situation and you just completely make up an outcome that hasn't even happened yet? So the brain is, very much like it goes to negativity quite easily. I think we're programmed to be that way, which
negativity bias is the thing. So that's like, again, when you see it, you kind of step back and you kind of like chuckle. You're like, oh, here it is. Here's my brain doing the whole negative story to protect me. I see what you're doing. And, you know, we have to remember that your brain is not wired for happiness. Your brain is wired for survival. So anything that threatens your survival, which can seem like a really bad day in the office or a breakup, you're like, feels like I'm going to die. Like, that's catastrophizing, which is not true, as we've just discussed.
Absolutely. So do you have any tips for people that might be listening, how they could actually catch that and change it?
Well, you have to remember, I think the first principle is that everything in this world is neutral. There's no good, there's no bad, there's no negative or positive. So whatever you label or judge something, that is the creation of your mind and your experiences, your upbringing and everything like that. So when you realize that, you can say like, oh, I'm judging or labeling it this way, right? And I think it's like, when you get so deep and in thought spirals, you have to realize that you've become unconscious. You're leaking power because you've become so identified with your mind that you can't even step back, because you are consciousness. You're not your thoughts. You're the observer, the witness of it. So when you see yourself spiraling and you're hearing all these thoughts, you have to catch yourself, and it gets easier with time, but you realize, oh, I've become stuck in the mind. I'm getting deep in the thoughts. And a lot of my coaching, like, I still do a lot of mindset work, but it really has shifted into embodiment, somatics, like really being in the body as well and feeling everything
That's important. Yeah. I think I like that you have shifted your work to get back into the body. I think that's important. I think we don't utilize our bodies enough. I think our brain really can control everything.
Absolutely. And I think as a woman as well, let's just say like society's conditioning as females, we've been made to either feel really ashamed of our body because we don't live up to a standard or look a certain way. Or, you know, if you do kind of talk about your body or in your body, you know, you get labeled other things. So it kind of feels like an unsafe environment, particularly for women to be in their bodies. And so we've really shifted into to the masculine mindset, which we need in terms of a balance, but we've just lost touch with our femininity and the flow and everything like that.
Yeah, I think that that is, yeah, it's important. I just had this chat with someone, I actually did a live with someone about this, about actually transitioning more into that feminine approach. And it's not like a gender thing as well. I think that's important to mention. Like, it's not like a feminine is female and masculine is male. No, I think like there can be really masculine females and really feminine males. So it's just more of like an energy. So feminine is more flowy, trusting and embodiment, right? And yeah, masculine is your action taking. So you can have like masculine is still really important. It's your boundaries, it's the taking action. So it's important to have a balance of both. But I find that now as a collective, we're definitely more shifting into that feminine embodiment. So I love that your work is shifting with it. It really makes sense if you think about everything that's been happening.
Yeah, it honestly feels like we're coming home, right? Because if you think about a society as a whole for women, we really had to push, control, and try and get into, you know, the same playing field as men. And so by kind of shifting back into the feminine, it feels foreign. But we're very conditioned to be masculine. You've got to hustle to get the job you want. You've got to hustle to get the man you want. It's a lot of hustling, you know?
Yeah, it's that hustle culture. Yeah, absolutely. It's like you can't rest until you've got it. But the thing is, like when if we, like we go back to manifestation, which I am going to talk about, you manifest when you're in flow, when you're in that trusting, when you're having that, like when we've let go a bit, right? You can't manifest when you're like holding on and you're like, when is this going to happen, and trying to control the outcome. And that's very masculine. So yeah, I think that that's really a positive. I like that you do that. That's really awesome. So sorry, I'm going to bring it back to manifestation now. So manifestation is something I've already introduced to the listeners. It's something that we talk about. I think many people, when they get into this world of spirituality, they get into the law of attraction and manifesting, and it's really fun, right? So I say it's like a gateway drug into the world of spirituality. It's so good. So manifesting, I think it's really important to maintain a positive mindset. So prior to me actually getting into this world, I really struggled with a positive, like having a positive mind. I was quite a negative person. I really had like lots of negative self-talk. I had a negative outlook on the world. It was just naturally how I grew up. It was how my mom was. And then I kind of adopted that from her. And that was just how I was. And that really manifested in my life. So people listening at home, just a refresher, manifesting, law of attraction, it's always happening. The law of attraction is always happening, whether you like it or not. Either you work with it or you don't work with it at all, whatever. You believe in it or not. If you believe in it, it doesn't mean that it's going to make it any less real, right? So it's something that's always manifesting. It's always going to happen. So we can really use this to our advantage as humans. Like, this is something that we can really work with and we can utilize in the physical realm. So I think like maintaining a positive mindset is so important, and getting out of that negative self-talk, because the words that we use, if they are very negative and detrimental, it can really like have a detrimental effect on us, and it will manifest into your reality. So this was something I really, really, really worked on last year. And I would say that I'm definitely like getting a lot better at it now. I definitely look at things with a more positive outlook, but I would love, because I know that you help people overcome negative self-talk, right?
Yes.
So yes. I would love if you could like talk on that a little bit and let us know like kind of your tips in shifting to a more positive mindset.
Yeah. And I think it's not to say like you can't feel negative or positive. I think what you're saying is definitely right, because when you're saying that the law of attraction and manifestation is always happening, it is because we are a magnet for our vibrational experiences, right? That's not to say like you've caused something really bad in yourself. Like life also has its own say in it. But of course, when you have a more positive and upbeat energy, you're more likely to attract like high vibe, right? So I just wanted to point that out. Yeah. So the positive mindset, I think it is something you have to work at. And I think people think, oh, like positivity, especially my community call me like the positivity queen. And people are like, oh, you're just naturally positive. And I'm like, yeah, but no, because I've also had a lot of really difficult life experiences. Like I mentioned to you, my dad passing away when I was 19. Positivity is kind of like a choice and a lifestyle. So I think you have to kind of bring it back to yourself and realize that you have to take the power, but also the responsibility that the way that you are and your life and everything is a causing of your own product. Of course, life is going to play its things, but you play a huge role in that, right? We have seen people go from really poor to rich, or, you know, those rags to riches stories. It's because the difference is them. We all start on different playing fields. It doesn't mean we can't get to the end result, you know, if that makes sense. And so I think you have to realize it's the thoughts that you're having and catching it to be more positive. Like if you're always negative, you kind of can't just, oh, I'm just a negative person, and then you just brush it off and you're like, that's just how I am. That's like not really taking responsibility for your mind and your personal power. And so you have to realize like how much your thoughts can impact you, because you have a choice, right? For example, I always give this like the rain. Like somebody might be like, oh, that's so terrible because I can't go outside now. I can't have the picnic that I wanted. And somebody else will be like, oh, that's so great. You know, my plants are going to get watered. It's going to be great. You know, so you have to really see that the thoughts are going to pop up, and then you have the choice to choose and let the narrative run, or are you going to shift and change it to something else, right? And sure, you can pick whatever you want, but know that the thoughts are attached to feelings. If you have a positive thought, again, you're more likely to have a more uplifting emotion and feeling in your body versus running with the negative, and then you probably will feel quite drained and tired and exhausted.
Okay, that's interesting. It's funny that you said, you know, if you have a negative, what did you say? You said if you have a negative mindset and you're just like saying, oh, well, I'm just negative and that's just how yes. I am, that's not taking responsibility. And I used to do that. People used to say, you know, you're so negative, like shift your mindset. And I used to be like, no, this is just how I am. This is just how it is.
It's also really interesting you say that, because I have a lot of clients that start that way and they realize, oh, I'm not what I thought. And again, it's also hard when you're going to live by someone's judgment and box of you as negativity. It doesn't help someone going like, hey, shift your mindset. You kind of have to like let them or support them to open up to kind of changing and shifting, right? Because it's got to be a personal thing. Like we cannot mind control and shift people. They have to do it of their own personal power. So I think that that's what happens. People get trapped and they're like, get told they're negative. And then so they think they're negative, and it becomes this negativity spiral. And they, until they kind of have this event or somebody from the outside come in and be like, hey, have you thought about maybe shifting the way you think and changing your perspective? So I think that's really beautiful. I would have never thought you were a negative person before.
Oh my God, I was. I was so negative. I remember this like particular situation of my friend talking to her friend at work. She's my best friend. And it just reminded me of a funny situation where she was holding a cup and she was saying, oh, my friend, like I used to always say negative things happen to me. Like I'm just bad luck. Like I attract that. And that was always my mindset, that just unfortunate things just happened to me. And she was holding a cup and she was telling her friend that she's like, she just always attracts like unfortunate things. And while she said that, the cup like shattered in her hand. And I remember her telling me that story. I know. And I was just like, oh my God, I do attract negativity. And that like spiraled in my mind. But yeah, it's toxic. It's really, really toxic to be in that place. And it's limiting.
Can I add something to that? Absolutely. Like, I think it's also like you are not like a negative person. You're probably just a person experiencing negativity, because again, I have to come back to the brain and the role that it plays. If you think you're negative, it's going to be subconsciously and consciously looking for evidence of how you do attract negative experiences. Mm-hmm. So again, it's not till you have like the superpower of awareness and stepping back, you're like, oh, I can shift and change this.
Absolutely. That's how it happened for me. I listened to, do you know Abraham Hicks?
I love Abraham Hicks. Yeah.
That's how I got introduced to the law of attraction. And he it was the first time like actually listening to their work and then really pondering, okay, maybe it is my mindset. Maybe I need to shift something. And I like what you said at the start of this question that, you know, we do have negative experiences. So this is something that I also wanted to chat about because I was having this conversation with a good friend of mine and we just recently spoke about how like she just recently got into the law of attraction. But she quickly realized that it's called toxic positivity. It's something that you talk about.
Yes, I speak about it too. Yes.
You do. Yes. So it's that it's being in this mindset that you have to maintain a positive outlook on everything. Like you can't like acknowledge the shitty things going on because otherwise you're going to attract that into your reality. And I think a lot of people fall into this trap when they talk about manifesting. And this is something that, you know, happened to me. And she was just telling me that it's happened to her. And I was like, I wish you came to me with that because I could have helped you earlier rather than her like spiraling. But that's fine. She's there now. But could you talk on toxic positivity?
Yeah, I think you really explained it well. And I think it's like this pressure that, oh my gosh, I have to be happy and positive all the time. And I think sometimes if people take the law of attraction too, I guess, literally and physically, they're like, oh my goodness, if I have a negative thought, negative things are going to happen immediately and pull into my life. And I'm also like, yeah, but no, like it is again, like the personal energy that you bring. But I think by like forcing yourself to be a certain way is never going to work. And I would also argue that you don't actually have to be positive to manifest. I've actually manifested amazing things in my life when I was feeling quite down. And I think it's more about being in alignment with who you are. And for me, alignment again is not being perfect all the time. It's being that unwavering mountain of strength that no matter what happens, you're going to be okay. And you know that, and you just step outside of the mind's stories. And I think this toxic positivity, it's also like people keep thinking like social media is real. And I'm like, that's why I like to share photos when I'm like, I've had an anxiety attack for the first time in a year. I've shared that with my community, or I'm just having a bad day because I don't want people to think that I'm happy all the time because of what they see on Instagram. I'm like, Instagram is not real. Like you guys don't have a camera. You don't see me 24/7. Like every person is curating to a degree, like what they're putting out there and the images and everything like that.
Yeah, I think that is a really important thing to speak on because, yeah, you don't want people to get – it's like false advertising, right? Thinking that everything is great and dandy every like 24 hours of the day, that nothing wrong is happening to you, that you're just constantly positive. But you really do exude positivity. I think it's in your energy.
Oh, thank you.
But I like that you ground it. So I do. I do like that you say, look, no, this isn't real life. This is how things really are. But it's true because then people get trapped in this toxic positivity cycle.
Yeah. And can I root it back? I don't think it's about positive. I think it's just people being afraid to feel their feelings because when someone just goes, oh, just be positive, it's like they're kind of like invalidating and pushing you aside. And like that's kind of like a reflection of them because they're not comfortable. Like we kind of just have to get comfortable with the fact that life is like a roller coaster. There's going to be some great times up the top and there's going to be some hard times at the bottom, but it will keep going up and down, actually like waves more really than a roller coaster. And I think it's just like allowing life because I think people forget like how amazing is it that we actually feel, whether it's like happy, sad, negative, exciting. Like this consciousness that we have differentiates us from like an animal, like a giraffe, right? They don't have these waves. They're kind of just in the moment living fully present all the time. But that's the gift of life. We get to feel these things. So why do we want to be like a robot, like happy all the time? Like I actually tell a lot of my clients, trust me, if you are happy all the time, I don't think you'd want to live anymore. You'd be so bored.
It's so true. And you would be quite annoying as well if you were just constantly like, oh,
yeah, he probably would trigger a lot of people and bring a lot of experiences your way.
I think that that's a good, I like that you said that people are afraid to feel because that's what it came back to when I really like dived into that conversation with that friend of mine. People are afraid to feel their emotions. It's hard to feel things that are hard to feel, right?
Oh, yes. But I think you have to realize you're more capable and like feelings at the end of the day are sensations in your body. I'm like, I can handle this. Sure, it might hurt for like a minute and it's really uncomfortable, but damn, in the uncomfort, I grow so much. And it's also that allowing the human experience again, like I want some variety in life. So I'm down, I'm game.
It's just a feeling. And it's funny how we can like be so scared of just a feeling.
Mm.
So it's It's interesting that you say that. And I've tried to sit in the feeling before as well. And even being conscious to the work, I still find myself like running away from having to deal with it and having to like actually feel the thing that I need to feel.
Yeah. And I think we all do that because, again, we're not used to it. It's like positivity. Like, you know, I exude natural positivity, but it's because I've just been geared that when I do it a lot. And it's the same with feeling your feelings. Like when you build it, it's like a muscle, like going to the gym, it will strengthen. And also, it's okay if you can't handle something. Like the body is very intuitive, and you know that's why there's a whole field of work where they think that, you know, trauma and negativity can be stored in your body because your body's trying to protect you. And it's like, okay, I'm gonna keep this here, and then when she's ready, I'll bring it up. And that's sometimes like I will randomly cry for no reason. I'm like, oh, that must have been some past trauma that I didn't deal with, and it's come up now, and I'm good.
I do that as well. I'll randomly cry, or even sometimes I'll randomly feel just really, really anxious. And I know that this is just a feeling that needs to pass through my body and it doesn't mean anything. I don't need to put a label on it. I'm like, I just need to feel it.
Yeah, honestly, like when you said that, I'm like, yes, again, we create meaning. So if you want to make a meaning about why you're crying, like it might just end up frazzling your mind. So it's better to just allow it, because a funny thing happens when we don't resist and we allow it, it just passes through. What you resist will persist.
That's so important, because we do create meaning. I think as humans, we really want everything to mean something. It's just the way that we're wired.
Yeah, I think it's like we want this perfect narrative, and then so we feel like we're in control. But again, control is an illusion because we're never fully in control.
I love that you brought it back to control. Absolutely. It's that we do want control. We want to be able to understand it. And there's just so many things in this life experience that we're never going to be able to understand. Even no matter like how far you go on the spiritual journey, you're just never going to fully understand it.
Yeah. I want to point out this really observation that I had, and especially with manifesting, like when I'm teaching it all to my clients, because people like find it so hard to believe how you can, you know, use your thoughts and your energy to attract what you want. But I'm also like, you never question electricity. You don't know how electricity works, but you know electricity exists and it does its thing when it flicks the light. So why do you have to know everything about the ins and outs of manifestation? And I think that's the world we live in. But it's like, what happened to like the creativity and the fun and the flow and not having to know everything?
Absolutely. I love that you said that. It's so true. We are so, you bring it back to just being in the present moment, where now in this moment, everything is okay. It's such a simple thing and you hear it time and time again, but do you actually take it on? Like, do you actually think, okay, in this moment, everything is fine. I am fine. I am safe. Everything is working well. Like it's so simple. And yet like it can be life-changing. Even if you just take a couple of moments out of your day to just bring it back to the now and just think, okay, this is what I'm doing. I think, yeah, it's so easy to just like live in the past or live in the future. And that's how anxiety is even derived, right?
Yes, exactly. Because you're completely right. When you're here in the present moment, there's nothing missing. You're just here. You don't need anything else. And if I can provide you a tip, it's not through the mind, because your mind will be like, this is not possible. This is too easy. This is like a trick, right? That's why your mind can't logically wrap around itself, because the ego dies in the present moment. So the ego will latch on and create stories and question and all this stuff just to stay alive. Being present is like, you know, just breathing in and out and feeling the air, and it's like feeling your feet on the ground and feeling like the warmth and the temperature of your body. Like that's what it is to be alive. Like it's not in your mind. Like I'm not thinking, hello, I'm here right now. I'm just being here. My full attention and focus is you. Literally, we were speaking. I was like, what did I just last say? Because I'm literally always yeah. here. I don't remember what I said 2 seconds ago.
Yeah. I think that that's such a helpful tip, because I've recently been battling with like, you know, not being controlled by the ego, because the ego is so sly in the way that it actually controls you, honestly. So I love that tip, actually getting back into the body and feeling into the actual moment, physically feeling.
It's funny you say, because, you know, I do agree, like we tend to see the ego's evil, but when you just laugh and you know its role, which is to protect you, and it's just laugh. Like it's not evil. It's just doing whatever the hell its purpose is. But I think a really beautiful tip is breathing. Breathing is the gateway. That's why people roll their eyes. Like, of course I breathe all the time, but I'm like conscious, intentional breathing. I don't know if you know this, but I'm a huge Wim Hof fan. I went to like the world's first women's Wim Hof retreat last year, and I'm going again next month to a retreat in the Snowy Mountains. And I just, breath will change your life.
Yeah.
You'll get high on life, literally.
Yeah. I love Wim Hof. Breathwork changed my life anyway. I do love it.
With breathing, it's so simple. It's free. You can do it at any time. But I think people, again, your mind wants to trick you. It's like, no, you can't just simply breathe. You've got to like do X, Y, Z. Again, linking to other things we talked about. Control, ego.
It's literally free things that we all have. Like we all have access to breath. Yeah, it's something that we don't consciously do. And it's the one thing that's keeping us alive if you think about it. So actually connecting back to that is so insane. And breath work really does have the power to change your mind. So definitely recommend looking into that. How often do you do breath work?
I honestly try every day. I do it every day because it relaxes me and it's something that's really accessible. I used to meditate and I still do meditate, but I think breath work is like an active meditation and I can feel my energy. I can feel my lungs, especially as an asthmatic. I really want to like feel the air in my lungs and everything like that. And like you said, it is so free and accessible. Like it's not hard to even just take 10 seconds to breathe, right?
No, you're right. It's so accessible. What are some of the other things that you like to do to get back to yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I want to flag because I think this kind of comes into the toxic positivity and the Instagram world. Like you have to have a morning routine and all this stuff. And I'm like, what works for me, what I'm telling you may not work for you. And like, that's okay. I think it's this process of finding what works for you. My non-negotiable is vitamin G, which is gratitude every day. I always write about what I'm grateful for because honestly, it's just such a high vibe and there are so many things to be appreciative of. I think that really grounds me. I love tarot cards, oracle decks, again, to speak to the other side and, you know, validation and words of wisdom. That's something that I'm really drawn to. And of course, like exercise or stretching, but hey, I also have days where I just don't want to get out of bed, so I won't exercise.
Yeah, no, I think it's, you have to fill into what you feel on the day. I leave it open as well. I used to have like a really strict routine. I'm like, I have to wake up and it has to look like this. And it would kind of like set my day up for failure
and resentment,
right? Because I'm like, oh my God, I failed because I couldn't get up. So if you just leave it open to whatever you need to feel in the day, then that's the most important thing.
Agreed.
And it allows you to kind of not start your day off resenting the fact that you didn't get up and do an exercise routine or whatever it is.
Yeah, I feel like when you put that pressure and then you feel this like need to sustain it, it just doesn't become fun. And I think bring it back to manifestation. It's become this thing and people get really needy and like has to be like this. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what happened to like the fun? And I think manifestation is like, you know, the icing on the cake. It comes when you've done the inside and the physical starts to fall into your world. It's not like you're doing it for that, because when you're doing it just to receive things, you'll find that the path is much harder.
I quickly learned that. I think I started trying to like manifest everything and I was like, oh, I can't. I'm so blocked because there's so much like there was work to be done and I needed to like learn a lot of like letting go of control, being in the flow and all of that. So I love that you say that. And I would love to know, like you work with lots of people, right? So you would really get to see this. So what's the one thing that you realize that people really need to let go of in order to start manifesting their desires? I know we spoke on a little bit of them here and there.
Ooh, it's honestly the how, because people are always like, how's this going to happen? And they want to know like A, B, C, D, E, F, G, exactly the timings and the steps to take. And I'm like, no, manifestation doesn't happen that way, because when you think about manifestation, you are co-creating with the universe and you have to just let the universe do its job. I don't want to be the universe. Can I orchestrate all these events and it's like flow on effects and ripples to like billions of people on earth? Like I don't want to be the universe. That's like stressful to me. I just want to enjoy it. And my mentor, Christina, she kind of talks about this analogy that the universe is like your party planner. So do you want to arrive like stressing about the guest list and what they're eating, or do you just want to rock up and everything's done perfect? The music that you like, the canapes, the drinks, like that's how I want to manifest. I just want to rock up and then the universe will take care of it. And I'm like, this is great. And so people, I think, too stressed in the how, and that is what we spoke about, the masculine energy. And when you wrap yourself into it, because think about manifestation in the first place. It is not logical. It's not in the mind. It doesn't make sense why these things happen. Like people get, you know, dream jobs or dream relationships or hundreds and thousands of dollars. It's not logical.
Yeah, no, I love that you said that. That's such a good analogy, going to a party and you just rock up and it's all done for you, because that's exactly your only job to do. It's just to rock up. The universe has your back. It's going to sort you out. Another thing I think is really important to mention is that I just had a thought when you were speaking to me. If you desire it, it's meant for you.
Yes.
Because like what I desire is going to be different to what you desire, yes. Right?
Yes, because you won't conceive it if it's not what you desire. In the same way that exactly. If you have that, your mind's probably not going to conceive how it's going to happen, because the mind, it's never happened to you before, right? So of course you're not going to understand it. And so again, it's like that control thing. And I'm like, manifestation, you just have to be so fluid. And I think we spoke about this, but you have to be open to receive. Like I actually tell people, okay, if you want $1 million, like, are you ready for what it's going to do to your life? Like, you think it's just going to be like buying all the things and going on holidays and stuff. But what about the impacts in your life when people see you and they get envious of you, when they try to steal your money, like all sorts of consequences? I don't think people realize that what you actually, when you get what you want, what are the impacts on your life?
You're right. It's true. And, you know, you can figure out whether or not you're open to receiving just by looking at the way you might receive a compliment. Or a fun story is that when I was like playing around with the law of attraction at the start, I was like manifesting money. I was like, I'll manifest $100. And then my mum would come over randomly and she'd be like, yeah, here's $100 just because I love you. And I'd be like, no, don't give that to me. So it's like the universe was giving me what I wanted and when I was manifesting, but I wasn't receiving it. I was like, mm-mm. So that becomes a problem in itself.
Oh yeah. When you said that, I definitely related. I think it's a self-worth thing, because I remember one time my mom bought me the brand new iPhone for my birthday and I was shocked. I was like, oh my goodness, like why would you spend $1,000 on me? I think you should put it towards something else. And she's like, oh my goodness, can you just relax? This isn't even about you. I just wanted to give you this gift. And I was like, okay. And that made me realize I had some work to do on my self-worth, because I didn't even think I was worthy of a $1,000 iPhone. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. No, that's a beautiful gift. And also that's true. Like just thinking, oh, I'm not worthy of this. Why aren't you worthy of, you know, somebody spending $1,000 on you? You're special. You deserve it. So yeah. I love that you noticed that.
Yeah. And I think if we all think about deep down, we like desire whatever it is, whether it's money, a relationship, a holiday, or whatever. If you skim beneath the surface, you'll probably have doubts that are kind of blocking or in the way of your manifestation, because you don't think you deserve it, or you think you have to work really hard to get it, or because you did something 10 years ago, it's not going to happen. You know, it's just funny how the mind works.
It's true. It all comes down to self-love and self-worth. If you think about it, like everything always comes down to that. Like something's happened that's made you think that you're not worthy of that at some point in your life. And that is usually how it manifests. So do you agree? Because you work with a lot of people.
Oh, dating, love. I did a whole series on it. It's like the most popular topic, and it's like my own personal journey because I was single for 8 years. But yes, it is a love thing, a self-worth and a self-love thing. We, for some reason, yes, you're exactly right. Things happen in our life and then we decide and declare, oh, I'm not worthy of love anymore. And the funny thing is like we are love, and love isn't just romantic. Love is in the actions that you do and how you breathe and how you move in the world. So love's become something else as well.
Oh, I love that perspective. That's so true. We are love, and you don't have to get love from a relationship or another being in order to experience it. You can literally experience it yourself because, yeah, we are love. We come from love.
That's exactly it. And people forget that. And so sometimes when I go really radical on a podcast, like I'm about to say, I don't even think self-worth is a thing, because that's a mental concept, because you just are love. You are the source of love. So you can give love and receive love. Everything else is mental concepts and limiting beliefs getting in your way.
I love your perspective. You're really, really like pushing the boundaries here. No, I love it. I love it. It's true, because that is a concept. You remind me of my partner who's just like, but this. And I'm just like, all right, I know.
Yeah,
he's like, that's
right?
A really human thought. And I'm like, it is, I know.
Yeah, I think I was going to post this on my Instagram in a few days. So you get like a preview thing. But it's kind of like, you know, the water doesn't ask like about the ocean and stuff. It just is the ocean. Water is the ocean. Water is the lake. Water is whatever, right? It's not questioning it. It just is. That's like how I see love. We just are love. There's nothing more to it. So anything else is just, yeah, bullshit.
We added on. It's our stories. No, it's true. It's our stories. Again, like we spoke about this before, it's the meaning that humans have to give to things. We make it mean something. So yeah, just really being conscious of that. I love that. I hope it's getting everyone thinking about the stories that they tell themselves.
I feel like people's minds are like, oh, well, I might have to listen.
Yeah,
to this.
I know.
Like, what are these ladies talking about?
I feel like I have to listen to it again. I feel like we're really flowing and I'm
we
like,
are. I feel like I need to re-listen to what I'm saying and what you're saying to really absorb it in, because we are really just flowing.
We are. I'm like, I had a full, I usually plan out my podcast episodes and I'm like, this is what I want to ask, and it just went off tangent, which I love.
I know, I love that. I think a lot of people do prepare, and actually I used to prepare a lot, but I found like magic really happens in just flowing and being a channel for the messages and the codes that I'm receiving. So when you were like, let's do a podcast, I was like, oh, I wonder what she's going to ask. I won't even ask her. I'm just going to rock up and see. And like the magic is happening and unfolding now.
I love that you do that. I think at the start it becomes like really scary because you're like, oh, what am I going to do? And da 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 da. Just to have like a structure. But yeah, it's the conversations that just flow, and you know, you don't really have, you kind of get lost in the conversation. You're like losing track of time. Like it's been 51 minutes already and it didn't even feel like that. I feel like you just hopped on now. So I think that makes for awesome content.
Yeah. And I think it's like a confidence thing again, right? When you, as you do it more, you get more confident in your abilities. You're like, okay, I don't have to prepare every single word and everything. I can just rock up and know that I'm going to have a great podcast. I'm going to share the best stuff. And it's so awesome.
I would love to actually know if you could tell me like a cool thing that you manifested and the process of what that looked like in terms of manifesting it.
Ooh, there's a few things. Like, it's so weird because I look back in my life and I have been manifesting without even understanding consciously that I was manifesting, because manifestation was like recent and new. Like I only learned it like 5 years ago. So it wasn't like I knew from a very young and early age, and so many people do, which is so awesome. I'm so jealous because all the magic that happens in your life.
Mine was last year. That's how that's when I started to learn about it, last year. So don't worry.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, again, it's not about time. It's just about your power and your energy. The first thing that I think about my boyfriend, because obviously I just so vividly remember being single for 8 years, and I'm sure many of you will be able to relate with me, like dating unemotionally available men or men just out there for a good time. And I just remember the last guy I dated, I was just so fed up. And I literally just like, I ended it and I opened my journal and I was like, this is exactly what I want a boyfriend. Like, just talking about it and thinking about it, and you know, like one day it's going to be so great when we go on holiday together or we work out together, and just really being and holding the vision and holding strong. And literally a week later, I met my boyfriend, and to a T, what I wanted, like really funnily close to the physical that I wanted, because he's tall, blonde, British, glasses.
Oh, that's
which is
so cool.
What I wanted.
That's awesome. Oh my gosh. That is
it
so
sounds
weird.
Funny, but yeah.
Did you notice that, like, when you met him, were you like,
No,
like-
I didn't consciously register. And because when I was dating, I didn't think, oh, every person I meet will be my boyfriend. I had no idea. But, like, now that we are in a relationship, like, a year and a half later, I look back and, you know, I even found the journal and I, like, did it on my love series. Like, oh, my gosh, I really did manifest him. But, like, it wasn't him as a person. It was the energy of a relationship, right? I want to make that clear. I don't believe in manifesting certain people. It's just like what the life experience that I desired in my life, and I was open and ready to receive. Because again, you're doing the things for that manifestation that you don't realize. Like, I had to cut off energetic ties to exes or whatever people in my past in order to open up the gateway so that my boyfriend could come in, right? Otherwise, it could have been somebody else, but my eyes weren't open. My energy wasn't open because it was so attached to somebody old in my life.
Is that why you kind of were single for the 8 years? Because you mentioned that.
Yeah, I thought I didn't know, but then I realized, of course, when it's consciously, it's a pattern. There is something, and I was looking in the wrong places because I wasn't ready for a relationship. I know it sounds hard because I had to like confront myself, and I was like, oh my goodness, it was me the whole time, because I had the opportunities and I was always seeking the same person in a different body. And you know, I realized, wow, it was me. I'm attracting that. And when I realized that and took responsibility and did the work, oh, the manifestations came in quick, you know, not just a relationship, money, jobs, career, everything.
Yeah, no, I relate to that. I think that that is so true, because it's becoming conscious of it. I think that's the most important step. Would you agree?
Yes, we're like so on the same page. Awareness is a superpower. Awareness is a gateway to so many things, because And also consciousness, right? Because you can do the work, but you're not really consciously absorbing it and embodying it. It's one thing to learn about manifestation. It's one thing to be and do manifestation. Like, I don't have to consciously sit here and manifest anymore. I live, breathe manifestation in my being, in my energy, and in my power. I don't think about it. It's in my body. It's in me.
I love it. No, it's true. It's true. It's like I said before, it's not something you have to work hard at. And I think that's what people get really confused. They like sit there and they like visualize. I don't do that either. Like I just literally, I know what I want and I know the energy that I want to attract back to myself. And I know what I need to do in order to get in alignment with that energy and that will flow to me. So it's so beautiful that you also have that perspective because it doesn't have to be this thing that you wake up every morning and you visualize and you think about this and you do this because that also becomes really controlling in a kind of way.
Yeah. And I think it's like a really, like when I first did it, no doubt, you know, I kind of did some of those things like, but I think it's like as a tool to help you and get you to that energy in place. Like if that feels good for you, like do it. For me, it doesn't really feel like aligned with me anymore. And you will know that like as you evolve, like of course, like things change, your preferences, like it's okay. We're evolving all the time in life.
Absolutely. It's true. And yeah, that's also a beautiful distinction. I love that you're so just open to like things just changing and being. Honestly, I love that you're accepting of everything to just kind of happen and whatever needs to happen happens and you have the tools to deal with whatever happens.
Yeah, I think it's an energy. And if I can like kind of throw something out there, I really played with the energy of accepting something. I think when I have to accept something, I'm like, ugh. I guess if I have to, I really like to allow things. I'm like, okay, let it happen because so many times I look back in my life and something bad happened and I was like, this is the worst thing ever, which turned out to be the best thing ever. And so again, you don't know because you're always trying to control and label things. When you just relax and you just flow with life and you allow experiences to happen, you will see so much magic in your life, I promise.
Yeah, I agree. And I love that you mentioned that because it's true. That's happened to me as well. Like the things that you think are so terrible, like at the time, it's like the worst thing to ever happen. I could think of an experience that was like one that was really, really hard to go through. I won't speak about it because it's quite it's a lot for people to deal with. Yeah. I wouldn't want to do that to anyone, but it was just one thing that I thought was just a really heavy thing to go through and deal with. And when I look back on it now, I'm like, wow, like that was all for me. That really happened
yes.
for me. Yeah.
Like, yes. That's like my podcast. Cause it's like, don't just go through life, grow through life. Like everything is happening for your expansion. And when you wake up quicker to that and you realize it, then you never get upset with anything. Cause you're like, oh, this is happening for me. And you know, I have such like unshaking, unwavering belief in the universe that whatever happens is genuinely for a reason. I don't even go into the concept of why that is. I just know it. And it's just so like, I just feel such inner peace every day in my life. It's good.
it's amazing. No, it's good. It's good. I love that you're like that. And you can really see that when you're speaking. And I love like, you'd be a great coach because you really allow for just life to happen and it doesn't have to look a certain way. It's not so structured. It's just like, feel into it. And I love that you believe that people have the tools within them because they absolutely do. We all can do this. We all have the power to literally change our lives. Like I said, I was the world's most negative person in the world, like seriously, so, so, so negative. And I was able to completely transform my mind. And not to say that I don't have negative thoughts now. Of course I do. I'm a human, right? And I love that you allow for that. But yeah, it'd be amazing to have you in your court or in my court, like supporting yes. me on the way. Yeah. So I feel like
we'll chat awesome, later.
No, it's just, you'd be an awesome life coach. Honestly, I love the way that you teach and your perspective.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Alrighty. So I would love if you could let the listeners know where they could find you, where they could connect with you if they wanted to work with you or connect with your content.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Yes. So you can find me mainly on Instagram at The Fee Dang. So I'm always active on Instagram, same username on TikTok, a new adventure that I just got into. And yeah, you can obviously DM me anytime on Instagram or you can visit my website, feedang.com for more details, you know, podcast, blog, and how to work with me. So yeah, thank you.
So incredible. No, you're so welcome. Thank you so much for being here. And thank you so much for this conversation. I loved it. It flowed so well. I feel like I learned so much. I love your perspective.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I'm like, wow, time really did fly because, you know, it really it's did. Like the sun setting. I'm like, oh my goodness, really? It did fly by. Literally, wow. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. You have a lovely night and I'm sure we'll stay connected through the gram. If you enjoyed today's episode and you feel inspired to rate and review the podcast in iTunes, it would mean the world to me. Also, if you are wanting to connect with me on a more intimate platform, you can find me on Instagram at Closeted Soul. I would love to hear from you. Finally, you can learn a little bit more about me and this space just by visiting my website at www.closetedsoul.com.